Chapter 4. Detained strangers, and so hurried us back to the shore, and grumbled at only getting 3 shillings at parting for his trouble and his information. And so our residence in Andalusia began and ended before breakfast, and we went on board and steamed for Gibraltar, looking, as we passed, at Joinville's black squadron, and the white houses of St. Mary's across the bay, with the hills of Medina Sidonia and Granada lying purple beyond them. There's something even in those names which is pleasant to write down. To have passed only 2 hours in Cadiz is something. To have seen real donas with comb and mantle, real caballeros with cloak and cigar, real Spanish barbers lathering out of brass basins, and to have heard guitars under the balconies. There was one that an old beggar was jangling in the market, whilst a huge leering fellow in bushy whiskers and a faded velvet dress came singing and jumping after our party, not singing to a guitar, it is true, but imitating one capitally with his voice, and cracking his fingers by way of castanets, and performing a dance such as Figaro or Lablake might envy. How clear that fellow's voice thrums on the ear even now, and how bright and pleasant remains the recollection of the fine city and the blue sea, and the Spanish flags floating on the boats that danced over it, and Joinville's band beginning to play stirring marches as we puffed out of the bay. The next stage was Gibraltar, where we were to change horses. Before sunset we skirted along the dark savage mountains of the African coast, and came to the rock just before gunfire. It is the very image of an enormous lion, crouched between the Atlantic and the Mediterranean, and set there to guard the passage for its British mistress. The next British lion is Malta, 4 days further on in the Midland Sea, and ready to spring upon Egypt or pounce upon Syria, or Orso, as to be heard at Marseille in case of need. To the eyes of the civilian, the first named of these famous fortifications is by far the most imposing. The rock looks so tremendous that to ascend it, even without the complement of shells or shot, seems a dreadful task. What would it be when all those mysterious lines of batteries were vomiting fire and brimstone? When all those dark guns that you see poking their grim heads out of every imaginable cleft and zigzag should salute you with shot, both hot and cold? And when, after tugging up the hideous perpendicular place, you were to find regiments of British grenadiers ready to plunge bayonets into your poor panting stomach, and let out artificially the little breath left there. It is a marvel to think that soldiers will mount such places for 1 shilling ensigns for 5 and 9 pence a day. A cabman would ask double the money to go halfway. One meekly reflects upon the above strange truths, leaning over the ship's side, and looking up the huge mountain, from the tower nestled at the foot of it to the thin flagstaff at the summit, up to which have been piled the most ingenious edifices for murder Christian Science ever adopted. My hobby horse is a quiet beast, suited for park riding, or a gentle trot to Putney and back to a snug stable, and plenty of feeds of corn. It can't abide climbing hills, and is not at all used to gunpowder. Some men's animals are so spirited that the very appearance of a stone wall sets them jumping at it. Regular chargers of hobbies, which snort and say, ha, at the mere notion of a battle. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.